estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 491. I'm Adam, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
She's climbing out the window, isn't she?
Mary Lang.
Dinner in bondage. It works for me.
Does it? Well, that's nice and nice. And learn a new thing every day, Mary. And Robert Haynes.
What are you captain of? The innuendo squad?
I love that quote. And Ben Shoveler, who may not come up with a quote from the show.
I'm really grumpy.
I don't remember that. When did that happen?
I don't remember that.
I'm not sure if that bit actually made the cut.
He's just channeling the Ninth Doctor.
Anger is what I'm channeling. Anger at the moment.
Everything's broken
and not working. I'm not.
Yeah, but
place.
We can hear you. That's quite an important aspect of the show. This week we're going.
Oh yeah, helps, doesn't it?
This week we'll be talking about the Boomtown. But is it called Boomtown, Kirby?
Yes, Boomtown. Two words.
I said that. What? How is that not two words? Boom. Oh, shut up. Right then. We had stuff coming through on the live feed, which has been running so long that I'll probably have to put 50p in the meter. It's Lillian Robin who says, it's Brandon Moore said, football, is that one of those? Is that one with the stick?
Just don't.
And then he says, Shen Bovella, that's my line. And then Lillian Robin said, ever going to talk about Doctor Who? Lillian. Naughty. And Terry Miles says, good evening, everybody. Good evening.
No, it's not.
Terry.
Good evening, Terry.
Good evening, Lillian.
Good morning from me.
I've got 10 comments. I must have missed some. Let's see what else I've... Hang on. Why is this not loading? It says 10 comments
because
on the thread. I've only read out... Facebook is a Mac, is it? Well, that's interesting, though. Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they run the systems through Macs, but yes, probably got they've got probably hands in the apple pie.
Apple pie.
You told a funny.
It was deliberate as well. Right then, I'm just going to click on that. Oh,
well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they run the system.
Right. Oh, yes, some more, yeah? Right, there we go. Yes, we're at the football, blah, 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 blah. Good evening, everybody. Scintillating conversation. Lillian's have been a funny mood tonight. Mary, you might have, because I don't want to obviously get myself into trouble. Mary might have to keep Lillian under control. And then Brandon says, howdy. And then this Lillian says, you will fear my wrath. Oh, my God, what have you done to her? That's probably Kirby's fault. Alan T. Butcher.
My wife doesn't even let me do that.
Alan T. Butcher says, all fear Lillian's wrath. Unless it's a euphemism for something, I fear nothing. Lillian Robin says, 20 megabyte Mac podcast. It's not my fault. Mary started it. And then she says, there y'all are. Oh, have we gone backwards? Sorry, I did them all backwards.
20 megabyte Mac podcast when either David Tennant or Peter Capaldi was the doctor.
No, because Mary, it's raining out in Dayton, and Mary's requiring
Mac.
A new
Mac. No, Mac, it's in Scottish.
Oh, I see.
Macintosh.
Oh, Jesus. Shall I just go?
No.
I understood it. I thought it was funny.
Well done, Kirby. Right then, so the episode begins with a little bit of recap, and then we have a shot of a big-nosed Welshman having a conversation with a familiar face. What?
Master.
Oh, jeez.
That's Gwen Cooper's father.
It's been too long since she's had a mention.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. And also, yeah, so he plays Gwen Cooper's father in Torchwood, and he was the Undertaker in Remembrance of the Daleks.
I thought you were going to say WWE.
So he's one of the few people that... that has crossed over between Classic Who and New Who.
Anyway, Alan T. Butcher said, Kirby isn't a scapegoat. He's got a pinata.
Pinata.
Yeah. Right, so...
What? I don't understand. Yeah, I've got a dragon pinata in the garage, but what does that have to do with anything?
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
So, I also have a cardboard Dalek in the garage.
Marvellous. Anyway, so sorry?
How big?
Never mind how blooming big.
Someone at the inside.
It's
you've seen
Dalek.
It.
Dalek. Not anything else.
Anyway, Big Nose Welsh bloke is objecting about Margaret's plans to build a power station that's going to blow up and kill everybody. So Margaret,
that's a good thing to protest against.
Yeah, Margaret unzips her forehead and deals with him in the appropriate way. That's Slitheen deal with people. Meanwhile, at Cardiff Station, which is a station I've spent many a day at, and
did you recognise it?
Backwards and forwards. Well, it does say Cardiff Station on it, Kirby, so it's
yes, but
quite
they
recognisable.
Do tricks on film and that, so it may not have been.
I think it
may
is.
Have misappropriated signs. And
no. Well, according to Doctor Who locations, yes, it is Cardiff Station.
Well, I should think it is. Anyway, I spent many a skiving off school day at that railway station in my youth.
Why?
Because I preferred not to be at school, I was English.
And you prepared to be in Wales?
The irony is, yes, I was English and getting racially abused by the Welsh for being English. And of course, ironic part
well,
of that
there
is...
are so many other things they could have abused you for.
Did you eventually pick up a Welsh accent to blend in?
No. I might have had a bit of a Cardiff twang, but no.
Of course he bloody didn't.
No. Because I used to come back to the Isle of Wight for school holidays.
What? Isn't that awfully far away from the Isle of Wight? How did you... just get off school and then go there.
I lived in Penarth, which is where Doctor Who was filmed. In fact, where the 10th Doctor's first regeneration was filmed. Actually, that was down my mate Ian Coftrey's road. I've been down there many a time. That scene, he watched that scene being filmed out of his bedroom window. The ba 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 ba. Anyway, so yeah.
Spent your whole life on the Isle of Wight.
What?
I thought you spent your whole life on the Isle of Wight.
No. Right. I moved to Wales in 1978. But every time there was a school holiday, we'd come because we still had the house on the island. And my nan came up to Wales for a bit and then went back to the island when my cousin was born to help be a nan to my cousin. So she went moved back into the house. And so whenever we had our like half term holidays, Christmas holidays, etc., I'd go back to the island and spend that time on the island, and when it was time to go back to school, I'd be back in Wales again. I was there until 1982. So until I actually started liking it at school, I would not bother going into school. It's much easier to skive in those days, and get the train from Penarth to Cardiff Central Station, spend the whole day in Cardiff. I spent hours at the old... rugby stadium, the National Rugby Stadium called Cardiff Arms Park. Yeah, Cardiff Arms Park. Lark in Cardiff Arms Park.
You would duck down into Torchwood every once in a while.
That wasn't there.
I went to see Bon Jovi at Cardiff Arms Park.
Oh, did you now? I never saw a concert there, to be fair. I saw XTC at the... what was it called now? It was a club. Top Rank Club in Cardiff and Depeche Mode in 1982. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Yes, Kirby.
I don't think there's not a whole lot of competitiveness going on there is there, really?
No.
Not a lot to compete with it.
No. Anyway, when I was there, all you see, they shot this wide shot of this very beautiful area that is there now, but it was all grotty docks when I lived in Cardiff. Can we talk about the story again?
Did you ever go down to the grotty docks?
I've been there when I went to the Doctor Who blimmin', what do you call it? Doctor Who Experience. But I didn't go to the grotty docks when I was living there.
When they were grotty docks.
I just went to the city centre and dossed around. Anyway, where do we go?
That's not the city centre?
No. Robert Venice Jr. said, happy sunny Sunday or Monday. Hey, Robert, welcome back. Brandon Moore said, they have whales on the Isle of Wight. Oh, God. And then Robert Mitch Jr. says, Torchwood was probably active but unknown to us. Well, maybe so. Right then, back to Doctor Who. Anyway,
when you were visiting Cardiff, Captain Jack was buried... underneath there.
Yeah, he has, whatever. Anyway, so Mickey shows up at in Cardiff and knocks on the TARDIS door and is greeted by JB. Oh, sorry, I mean Captain Jack, and barges his way in and gives John Barrowman.
Yeah, I got who it was. I just was a little bit confused by your JB. Like, is he your mate or something?
Yeah, he's everyone's mate, JB.
Come over, does he? Yeah. Everyone's mate.
I did buy a very expensive photo shoot with him once, but that didn't transpire due to COVID. Anyway, so he comes into the TARDIS and Doctor takes the mickey out of him. Stroke bullies him, but we let that pass.
Take the mickey out of him.
Yes, indeed. We're on fire to die. so then they go for a little stroll around Cardiff. It's not actually the city centre, Kirby. No, if you have to get a bus from there to the city centre, because it's quite a trek. Meanwhile, Margaret unveils her Welsh stuff Red Dwarf. Not Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf.
Okay.
Is this a different podcast?
Bad Wolf. She's the mayor of Cardiff. She's gone up in the world.
It's Lord Mayor.
All right. Lord Blimmin' Mayor. Anyway, this rather big cute...
Difference.
This so rather do, cute... Do well, every, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
British question.
What?
British question. What's with the necklace?
What necklace? That's what mares wear.
Yeah, they wear a chain.
Yeah, to throw they're a mare. It's a mare chain.
Yeah, and they should have a scepter as well.
Do they?
I think so. Or is that the queen?
That's the queen.
So I remember my parents visited Britain in 1970, and they occasionally they were in a couple of dinners with Lord Mayors, and the Lord Mayor always wore one of those.
Yeah. Well, my friend at work
is descended from the Lord Mayor of London from about 1500 and something other. Talk over the bit I was going to say about when I was living in Wales and getting racially abused for being English. Well, the ironic thing is I trace my ancestry back to Griffith ap Owen, or Owen ap Griffith, who was the first King of Wales. So I'm more Welsh than they are, the Welsh people. Anyway, right, back
well,
to
how
Doctor.
Do you know? They may be descended as well.
Well, he might be, yeah. But there's no reason to racially abuse me when I'm also descended from it.
They didn't know that, though, just to say
I don't
you
care.
Don't know about that.
I don't care. Right, anyway, Margaret has a conversation with a cute lady who's going to do an expose. So Margaret sort of eases her out of the meeting into the toilet, where she strips off, and she's just about to kill her when the
so
cute Welsh
of jobs I've had in the past.
She's just about to kill her when she tells a sob story about being pregnant and getting married and stuff like that. Which, because Margaret's Slitheen family have been sort
Martha.
Of yes,
Martha.
Oh, so Martha. No, they've just sort of managed to get themselves in a situation where they all got killed. I wouldn't say that she got murdered. She lets her off, rather emotionally. It's quite a good scene, that, especially with the way the Slitheen looks.
It raises the question, you know, the woman who's going to destroy not just Cardiff, but the whole planet.
Yeah.
Pity on this one woman.
Yes. Hypocritical,
well,
isn't it, Mary?
Well, she said that she's turning native.
Yeah.
Later on.
Meanwhile, The four TARDIS people are having a meal in a restaurant, and there are other restaurants in Cardiff, but they decided they should use this one. And of course,
Master.
Hang on, Captain Jack, who's wearing his his vortex manipulator in these scenes, by the way, is very, very loud during these. If I was the sort of owner of the cafe, I'd probably have thrown him out or asked him to be quiet. But I can imagine that's exactly what it's like being in a restaurant with John Barrowman. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't know calling him JB.
You may think that they are in the same restaurant in all three restaurant scenes.
Mm.
No, it's three different restaurants.
Do you know, I should have learned after all these episodes not to even mention something like that. I should have kept quiet, not even presumed.
But you never know what little tidbit I happen to know.
I wouldn't quite call them tidbits, no. Alan T. Book.
Tits bits.
No, that's Nicholas Nork. Just thinking of another page there. Brannamore said, Margaret's a mare. Of course, she's a pantomime horse. Robert Vance Jr. said, when running in time, you need to be careful to not run into yourself. And then Alan T. Butcher says, the necklace is civil regalia.
Civic.
He would know.
Well, Master, speaking of not running into yourself, it was established in canon in one of the novels that Captain Jack did know that he, since he is in Torchwood at the time, down below the plaza, and he knew that he was going to be there as this Jack, so he deliberately did not run into himself.
Right, okay. Anyway, where do we have to? Anyway, the doctor notices a heading on one of the newspapers, obviously a picture of a person they all know, and they decide to go and catch her. So they go to town hall, I suppose it must be, where they all split up, and Jack has this plan, which the doctor sort of adopts as his own, and they go about in a very amusing way getting Margaret, and obviously there's various amusing bits. The first bit is where he asks to see her, and he says, oh, she's climbing out the window, isn't she? And then he chases her out the window. The bloke more or less says, yes, she is. And then as soon as the doctor jumps out the window, tries to get her, he sort of tries to hold him back. Leave my mare alone. And then, so eventually they catch her outside, and the doctor's got a special function on his sonic screwdriver to recall her from the transmat. That would have been quite useful, actually, in the previous time.
It was an upgrade.
We met them. Anyway, so she's now their prisoner, and she sort of comes up with all these sob stories that she's going to executed because the Sardines are sort of criminals. Well, there's a surprise on Rats of Corico Fowler's
Master,
story.
You realise that's not
just
really
when I got it absolutely spot on, you talked over it. Right, you're going to get one of these for that. First time, no mistakes. Yeah, sorry, Kirby, what did you say?
That's not the City Hall or whatever. That's a building at Cardiff University.
Wonderful. But in the story,
why
what was
think
it?
That would be the City Hall anyway.
Because the mayor normally would work, I would have thought, maybe get that wrong.
No, I mean in real life.
I'm not talking about real life. This is an episode of Doctor Who. Right, that is it. Got some other form or means
don't,
of
don't
execution.
Don't touch the sound effects, Adam. Don't touch the sound effects. What happens when
they've used this that location for Blink as well. A lot of the statues around there, and a Torchwood was filmed there as well.
Right, I've found an appropriate sound effect.
That could be seen.
Oh.
Feel so much better.
Oh, the window that
Margaret... it didn't work.
Master.
What?
The window that Margaret runs out of, and the doctor also goes out of it to chase her, is the very same window that Jack was watching Rose dangling from the barrage balloon.
I thought it looked familiar.
Well, there you have it. Is that it? Can I carry on now?
I'm a ding. Come on, he wants
a
ding.
No, he doesn't want a bloody ding. It'll be a boom in a minute. Right then.
Irritated him. He will not ding me.
No. Beg your pardon? I hope that's not a euphemism for something.
That's internet legend, Kirby.
Is it about time to play my jingle?
Meanwhile, underneath the sort of map model that they've got, the Captain Jack discovers a very cool thing indeed. It's some sort of
surfboard
thingy. It's called an extrapolator, I believe. Actually very, very excited about. And what
noise?
Are you fixing?
It's me drilling.
What are you drilling?
I'm drilling some things to try and mend my microphone. I'm in my shed. Why the hell won't I use what I've got in here to try and fix it?
Why haven't you got one of these? It's called a sonic screwdriver, and it don't...
Well, I've got a DeWalt 776, which is doing quite a good job. Anyway, didn't right. put big enough group in it.
Okay, well, not all of us can have Sonic
Sorry,
3.
Sorry, carry on.
Right. Yeah, so Margaret is then trying to guilt trip them in out of them taking her back to Raxacolico. I said it right first time when I got interrupted.
And you said it right many times 9 years ago.
Okay, right, anyway, so...
But when Alicia was very enthusiastic Ow! About this story.
Just bang my elbow. What's her name then? Oh, yeah, Rose and Mickey go off and reminisce, and basically Mickey tells her that he's got a new girlfriend. And, of course, there's a lot of time spent with Margaret
he knew what
trying
she was up
guilt-tripping
to,
them. Pardon?
Master?
Yes?
I posted a picture already, but when Rose and Mickey are talking over there next to the water about his new girlfriend and everything, they are right in front of where Ianto's shrine would be later. And so I posted a picture showing a frame from this episode and street view of the Ianto's
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make a cup of tea. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee.
I may have just drilled through my desk.
Oh, I thought you were going to say through your finger for a moment then.
Oh, no. No, if it was through my finger, it would have been a lot worse than that.
Okay, let's play a little clip from the show. Here it is.
It wasn't funny.
Sorry. It is a bit funny.
Oh, and that's sweet. Okay, so yeah, sorry.
I couldn't understand a word.
Never mind. Right then, so yeah, so she's just basically wangles a meal out with the doctor. There's a
various... the best scene in the entire story.
Yes. Reminded me a little bit of Kingsman and the various ways she was trying to kill the doctor. It was brilliantly done. And then there's a rumble. They sort of think, hang on, that doesn't sound right. So they rush back to the TARDIS because
can
there's
I just mention something about that
what, the rumble
scene?
The what scene?
Why would she...
why are you ignoring the entire scene? This is the best scene in the story.
Go on then. No, why is it the best scene in the story?
Well, go ahead. Robert's trying to talk about.
I was just going to say that if you're going to kill somebody, you don't just go about and say, well, I could do it with my dart coming out my finger, and you just shoot. You wouldn't buddy say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, well, you might. Have you never seen a James Bond film?
Well, it's like Daleks as well. They say, exterminate, exterminate, exterminate.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, well, that's Doctor Who for you.
Just bloody do it.
Yeah, they do it when they don't want it when it's
Robert.
Not the Doctor. Yes.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a big rumble, like I said. It was a good scene, by the way.
Go ahead. There's a couple of gangs having a fight? Really?
What are you talking about?
A rumble
in the Bronx.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, it was a great long scene between all of them.
I was thinking in the jungle.
Yes. So the TARDIS has become some sort of plasma lamp. Some cracks in the floor appear while everybody rushes back to it, and then of course Margaret decides to grab Rose with her because she pulls her sleeve off, and her Slovene arm is there, and she's going to throttle Rose unless they do
horrible.
What is
the fake Slovene arm?
Oh, it was there for effect. She's going to
even the bone.
She wants the extrapolator. If I can get the blimmin' words out. So she can get away. But the TARDIS has other ideas and flips open its little door, which will become apparent in the next two episodes, which then sort of turns her into a nice person and back into an egg. The Doctor turns everything off inside the TARDIS, which then sort of returns things to normal. The TARDIS has had a great big jolt of temporal energy. I never thought it actually needed any fuel, but nevertheless, it's helped him out. And all they're left with is a body suit and a funny-looking egg. Well, it is Easter. And Rose goes off to try and find Mickey, who's sulking again and doesn't make it apparent that he's there watching, and he slopes off with his parka, and Rose goes back to the TARDIS. and they move on to give the egg back to a family on Raxacorico Phalaboratorius. I beg your pardon?
And then they ruin the preview of the next story. If you didn't know that there were Daleks...
Yeah, I know. That was annoying, wasn't it?
That bugged me too. It's like, it was a mystery, except they show already.
Yeah, they could have done that sort of in the sort of preview for the following episode, really, to be fair. But anyway, that's the end of that story. I can't believe I actually got through it, especially with Kirby on the show. But I did, and I deserve one of these. Right then. So what we've got coming up on the feed. Lena Robin said, I didn't know that about the window. Oh, God, I suppose. Kirby.
What?
Robert Haynes says, what are you doing on this feed? You're on the show. Now we all know, and then thanks, Kirby. Neil James said, hi, you creep, Robert. Neil James said, hi, everyone. Been trying to drive traffic to Nicholas Norks. Well, it doesn't take a lot of... In my view, it doesn't take a lot of effort to drive traffic to Nicholas Norks.
Can I just say, I've been trying to divert my traffic to Nicholas Norks for many years.
Lowering the tone as usual. Sorry, but it's not easy.
That's really
faster.
Hang on, let me read the comments. And then Robert Vance Jr. says, Mickey was hoping to get some, but Rose spoiled that. Indeed he was, sulking. He's got a girlfriend anyway. Yes, Kirby?
The egg prop was reused from the end of the world.
Was it?
Except they stuck little tendrils on it.
Splendid. Right then. So, now we're going to hear a lot of Kirby now. But, we haven't decided what we think about it yet. Well, right there. Filler episode. But I did enjoy having the four of them together. And, that's Mickey, Doctor, Rose and Jack all together in this particular episode. I don't think we see that again. Might do, I don't know. But it's quite a good, sort of fairly fun filler episode. I quite enjoy it. It's nice, in fact, just the fact that it's shot in Cardiff, and this is the only, apart from the one with Charles Dickens, it's the only one where they're blatantly in sort of a modern day Cardiff. So that was quite good fun. It's also the scenery they chose to shoot it in was very good.
That was deliberate.
Because they're trying to, but they didn't know they're going to do the Torchwood thing at this stage. But no, I thought all in all, it's a good fun episode. I can't really fault it that much, to be fair. I was going to, but then I forgot what I had issues about by the time Kirby...
Oh, did I make you forget?
Yes, you did. I thought it was okay. I was quite enjoyable. What did you think of it, Ben?
Did he remember?
It was all right.
That's what we're looking for. That's a sort of commentary you want.
It was silly in parts again, wasn't it? I mean, I think the Slitheen were just a stupid baddie. What a bad idea. I mean, I'd say the Slitheen are the equivalent of Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars. Totally unnecessary, needed, and it was just childish. Apart from that. Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right.
I never liked the Slitheen, so I'm glad they did.
Big a fan of him, to be fair. Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Kirby. What did you think?
Thank you for giving me the time to give you my thoughts on that episode. I will not take up anymore.
Thank you, Kirby. What did you think?
If someone else would like to start talking and tell me what they thought of the episode, now I've given my thoughts, then. Now would be that time. Maybe Kirby.
That would be quite good, wouldn't it?
Tell us what you think of this episode. We'd be interested to hear your views. Take it away. I'll tell you what, Kirby, if you don't want to, maybe we should go to Mary. Mary, what do you reckon?
No, we can't go to Mary without
Mary's about to talk about Kirby. I think. Go on, I'm going to go back to fixing my microphones. I've had my fun.
It's my... This one, I noticed when we were making lists years ago about our favorite episodes from each series and our least favorite. This one I have listed as my third least favorite for series one. although the other two are the other Slovene stories, and it's actually not that bad. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's funny, even with the seriousness of you're trying to execute me stuff. It's a nice filler episode, and I'm kind of glad they did this one instead of the story that was supposed to be there, where somehow we find out Rose had been bred specifically to be a companion, which fortunately they'd never made that one. But that is true.
Would have been interesting.
But the writer that had been commissioned had other things that he had to do, so they had to write this one very quickly, and RTD deliberately set it to show off the whole that part of Cardiff. And I wonder if he was thinking already that there was going to be Torchwood underneath there.
No, it was a budget choice. It was a budget choice.
Okay. Okay. I like this one. So there.
Thank you, Kirby. What do you think about it, Robert?
Pretty much I agree with what you guys are saying. One thing I was going to mention, though, about the Slitheen is that, you know, I totally agree that I don't like them as a Doctor Who villain, but I will say they do suit a Sarah Jane villain.
Yes.
And they were used very well
indeed.
Sarah Jane Adventures. So they did have some redeeming features in that way. But, yeah, as a Doctor Who villain, not really. But I'd say Annette Badlin played the Slovene very well. She was not in the suit, that is.
Incredibly sinister.
But, yeah, she was very good, very comedic as well when needed.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, that little restaurant scene is really nice. And yeah, it is just a filler episode, and you could tell, but I mean, it's just really biding time until the final two-part
test. Bad Wolf kicks.
Yes, indeed.
I've heard her interviewed a couple of times. She'd be a good person to invite to a convention there on the Isle of Wight.
No, well, she never answers my emails. I think probably not.
Maybe she doesn't like the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that she was very enthusiastic when I talked with her, you know.
Well, on the subject of the convention, the Cowes Enterprise College said they won't give us a definite whether we can have it there or not until September, which is slightly late considering it's supposed to be the end of October. And two, no one appears to be prepared to invest any money in the event, which is quite an important thing. So it's not looking too good at the moment. So stay tuned, but at the moment it's not looking too good. Don't worry, if it does go that way, anybody who's bought a ticket for the event, you will get your money back. Even though the policy says no refunds, but there will be. Anyway, yes, Kirby, what do you say?
Why don't you just do what a lot of conventions that cancelled last year, who are having to cancel this year, have done, and just postpone for the next year?
We already postponed for this year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, lots of conventions are having.
I think we're thinking if we can't get the investment and we can't do it because of this, that, and the other, namely the school not allowing us to do it there, it may be just a reboot on it. But at the moment, it's not looking good until we get somebody prepared to throw a little. It's not that much money, £5,000. We could actually do an event for that. Right then, so can we go back to the show? Have you done your bit, by the way, Robert?
Yeah, yeah.
Back to this thing.
It's going to be Mary's
MVL.
Prepare yourselves.
Well, it is a filler episode. Everybody has pretty much agreed to that.
No.
And it's kind of a fun filler. And it was written fairly quickly by the person who's probably the best. Best suited to do that, which is Russell T. Davies, because he does like snappy dialogue and comic scenes and all that. So, yeah, so it was kind of a lift. And I can't believe we're already looking at this season coming to an end in the next couple of weeks.
Series.
But But the thing is, the thing that stood out for me that made me really wonder about Captain Jack, he's working.
I wasn't sure about him either, man. I thought he'd be funny. Something weird about that boy, I thought.
He is.
There's all these scenes where he's working on the mechanisms of the TARDIS. He's under there hooking up that little skateboard thing, and all I can think of is, wow, has he become a Time Lord? I don't think so, but he seems to understand how the TARDIS works for him to be able to get in there, you know, and work on it like he was. So that kind of hit I won't say a sour note so much as me.
I have an answer to that, but go ahead.
And part of the what Kirby brought up about the location is that because this is a filler and it had to be, you know, come up with and, you know, written and set and all that pretty quickly, they did choose Cardiff because that's where they were anyway, decided to center it there rather because it takes a long time for when they want a location shoot, you know, sending out the teams and finding the right places and all that. And they just didn't have that kind of time and they didn't have the budget. So they just decided to put it in Cardiff. I want to riff here for just a second about what it takes for these actors to do these series. When I read through the production, how they put this together, I'm just amazed, and I know this is true across all TV and movies, you know, the things are not shot in sequence, but when I read what they had to go through to get people into, you know, the scenes that they had to do, where, you know, like, Annette, she was already filming in Manchester on some other show, I think it was called Cutting It or something. And so she was only free like one day in the week. So they had to like ship her in for that one day and do all of her scenes in one day. And of course, not in order. And things that they add in later where they get people together, you know, to fill in, you know, areas because the episodes are not running long enough. But I mean, and even with Eccleston, he had a whole week off during this. But so then they had like 2 days that they were, shuttling him in to do the things he had to do. And all I can think of is, my gosh, these actors, they don't have the benefit of being able to build their characters over the course of an episode. They're doing these things whenever, you know, scenes, whenever sets are available or whenever other actors are available. And so they're doing it all very piecemeal. And I find it just amazing that we can ride along on an episode with the build of either tension or, you know, horror or, you know, whatever. But they're doing this so piecemeal. How do they step in there and match the level of energy that they need for a particular scene? When they're doing, you know, just that morning, they may be doing the conclusion, but that, you know, just a couple hours later, they're doing the climax of the episode. And I just think I'm in awe of how these actors can do this, stepping in and out of these things. So, yeah, and with Eccleston, I was reading about how what a really difficult person he was to get along with during, especially as the series was coming to its conclusion, because he was just complaining to everybody all the time about the hours, about the stress, about, you know, all this that he had to do. But when I read, he took an entire week off. I mean, he was given the week. It wasn't like he demanded it. And they expected him to come back in a better mood, but he wasn't. You've got Billie Piper, who's going through the publicity over her separation and divorce. You've got Eccleston, who is mad at everybody all the time. There were production people he wasn't getting along with. I mean, he was just like a real prickly pear. But you look at them all in like this episode, and everybody just seems so, you know, getting along and you know,
connecting. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. And that's what makes me amazed at how actors can pull these things off. You know, doing things in piecemeal, doing things totally out of order, having their own personal crises, and yet able to make us believe in who they are.
Yeah, but that's the same as any job, though. I mean, any job, you don't go to work and you're putting your problems on everybody else.
I don't know about that. You know, people
well, you try not to.
But I mean,
all I'd say is, after working in television for a while, never feel sorry for any actor ever. They are all complete. Adam, I need a bleep there.
No, I was just listening to it. I don't think this is in my priority jingles folder. Hang on.
You play Kirby's jingle.
No, we can do it for Ben. Here we go. Say that bit again.
All actors are complete and utter mother.
That's like,
yeah, I mean, secret of comedy's timing, Adam.
Well,
you
said an extra word I wasn't expecting. Anyway, carry on.
But that means it would have come in earlier, whereas that came in later. Should we try again?
Yeah, go on, then.
Was that your reply, was it? I'm
surprised. Off. Anyway, right.
Actors are so up themselves, so full of themselves.
Some of them are.
I used to work in television production, and some of the people, seriously, you just wanted to spit in their sandwiches.
Right then,
I'm
sorry.
I'm referring back to Chicago TARDIS that I attended, I think it was about 3 years ago, when their theme was, you know, the first season, and they had, you know, Billy Piper and Noel and Camille there. And when asked, and I remember this now, looking back on it, whenever they were asked, you know, how it was acting, you know, with Eccleston, and did they have any stories and stuff, they really didn't. They had nothing really to say. They had a lot of funny stuff amongst themselves and funny things that they could talk about, you know, with John Barrowman. You know, they talked about everything else. But I remember that I came away from that thing without any real impression of what it was like to be, you know, or to work with Eccleston. And so maybe that's why, you know, they were just, you know, kind of tiptoeing around and didn't have any special funds or great memories or anything of working with him. So.
Thank you, Mary.
Anyway, so that I'm done now.
Thank you.
Master. Oh, God. I thought that Mary was going to bring this one up, but a source who worked on the production posted on Reddit that Eccleston and RTD came to blows during filming, and Noel Clark and John Barrowman had to pull them apart. So
several things in the world of yeah.
That was probably one of the last straws.
Brandon Moore says that bleep was so bleeping late. Thank you, Brandon. It wasn't my fault. It was just a slight delay in the playback.
It was your fault. No, pressed the button.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. Also, another thing, Billy Piper's uncle died, and that was part of the messing around with the, like what Mary was saying. I don't know how they do it, but like she was upset over that and had to miss certain filming days and everything. So
thank you. Right, McKirby, feedback.
Oh, let me
brilliant. We always have feedback next. Yeah. And let you're not ready for it.
I need to make sure that I have it all.
Oh, God.
Let me refresh.
How?
Okay,
but in the old days it'd be, hang on, I just got to reboot, but so it's not as bad as it used to be. Carry on.
What?
You know how Facebook will... There have been times where I've been sitting here on Facebook, and in the past, Robert has done like.
Yeah, please don't do that, Robert, otherwise you'll be getting a severe sound effect. All right, carry on.
Neil James says, Boomtown, the sequel story that no one really wanted. Robert Haynes just liked the button. the sequel story that no one really wanted. Cheap filler nonsense, but it's okay. Annette Madlin gives a strong guest performance, and the rift destruction sequence is pretty exciting. The dinner scene between the Doctor and Margaret is fun, with her trying various ways to kill him, and Murray Gold does a great job with the score. However, the scenes between Rose and Mickey are way too soapy.
Yeah.
And after terrific debut, Jack really doesn't get much to do here. Also, the ending is rushed and forgettable. Doing a story about the Doctor's moral dilemmas is an interesting idea, and Father's Day proved that the revamped show can do character episodes well, but this story misfires, and Series 1 would probably be just as good, if not better, without Boomtown. And then they spoil next week by showing the Daleks in the teaser.
Yes.
I remember being so annoyed back in 2005. Imbeciles.
Yeah.
2 stars out of 5. Robert Wentz Jr. says, I agree on a lot of what you said. My review coming up is going to be very short.
Right.
It is short.
Yeah.
His review of Boomtown, the Doctor fuels up the TARDIS at the Rift, where Torchwood will be later on. Except it's there now, really. Mickey tries to get a booty call from Rose. Of course, that didn't work out. Before the TARDIS leaves...
It didn't work out before the TARDIS leaves.
Okay, yeah. There's a period where there's...
I know, I can see that. Instead of a gap.
In Series 3, the 10th Doctor refuels up the TARDIS during the Sound of Drums 3-parter. The start of Mickey calling Jack Captain Cheesecake. The one thing I like is the confrontational testing between the Doctor and the Selene. At least she gets a second chance from the TARDIS. 2 stars out of 5.
Wow. These are classic story marks.
What's the one next? It's a Kirby Bartlett Sloan. What is this?
Oh, it's a picture of Ianto's wall before it was there and after. Yeah,
brilliant. Worked so well on an audio presentation.
I don't know this character that Robert Wentz Jr. posted.
The Family Guy, the dog.
I've never seen Family Guy.
Okay, well, don't do the next bit, thank you.
I know.
Now, this is going to be a trail, by the way. Something has come through on the live feed which requires this. It's Tim Drury. Who says, what have I missed? Has Kirby driven Adam to ing swearing?
You got your own timing right, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. It's called a delay over Skype.
I'm about to swear again.
Yeah. Don't what, sorry?
You're at the same time zone.
And you're talking...
Anyway, thanks, Tim. Where are we up to? Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just about to do something else. I forgot what it was. Oh, yes, I sent Ben through some blurb. Are you able to read the blurb I sent through via...
Came through on my phone, was it?
Yeah, can you... Okay. Bit of feedback.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I have it here. Hold on. Let me just warm my voice up.
Warm your voice up?
Okay, I've got my glasses on already. This says...
Whenever you're ready.
Good going, Kirby.
Ding!
Get the bleeps ready, Adam. Get the bleeps ready. Kirby, just to let you know, United got knocked out of the FA Cup earlier. I'm not in the best of. Now you go for it, mate. Feedback for Boomtown or the Slitheen Story Part 3. This is no fun. I'm just waiting here for someone to try and interrupt me. I've got a brilliant comeback.
You're in it now.
Okay. Back to modern day Cardiff. The TARDIS is parked on the Roald Dahl Place outside the Wales Millennium Centre. That's the Rift from the Unquiet Dead in Cardiff. Now, it's a TARDIS refuelling station. But that's new. Annette Badland is very good in this one. Once again, she's a Slitheen with a trans mat in her earrings.
Yes.
A pet project is called Bladdrug. I did that.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you very much. At least the Bad Wolf penny drops with the Doctor. Oh, no, it didn't. He just dismissed it. God help me. I've gone native.
Did he?
Right.
Did he?
Oh, did he?
No, Doddy.
God help me. I think he knew.
Okay, well, I think he did too, but carry on, Ben.
God help me, I've gone native. Great, from someone who had killed and skinned a MP. Rose's theme is good. It's so haunting.
It is.
When the Rift opens, the CGI is a bit over the top. Rose ran straight over the crack, and
that's
one of her feet landed right on top of the crack.
That's
in the
what
plaza,
she said.
Beside the TARDIS. The energy of the TARDIS turns Margaret back into an egg, and the Doctor says he will take her back to the hatcheries on Raxacora Factorius. So close!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost there.
Didn't he shoot his girlfriend? Oh, that was Oscar Pistorius, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come on! Carry on.
No, he definitely shot her. He didn't do the second. All in a very good story. Oh, my. Bad Wolf next. That was very predictable, just like the villains who we hadn't seen for so many episodes. Stay safe and well. Big thanks to Linda and Terry Miles. Linda and Terry Miles, everybody. Linda.
Right. Right then, so that moves us on to the next piece, which goes a bit like this.
Just got to get my hand.
And we were standing there, 15 of us, naked. Good afternoon, what? 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Mr. M with some feedback for Boomtown by Russell T. Davis.
Good evening.
This is the almost equivalent of a Doctor Light episode in that it's the budget episode. Very low on effects. I mean, you only really have the earthquake thing at the end that seems to have had any money thrown at it. But that doesn't mean it's a bad episode. I quite enjoy this episode. A lot of people dismiss it. It's definitely a better use of the Slovene, given that they kind of keep Margaret under wraps for most of the episode, and the only scene in which she's really fully emerged and has significant dialogue when she's in the toilet is probably the best scene that you get from the Slovene ever. The idea for this episode originated that back when they were filming the first production block, they had a week before when they were doing rehearsals, which is the only time that they really did that in the new series at all. And at one point, for some reason, Russell T. Davis was there reading in Christopher Eccleston's lines to Annette Badland, where you have the scene before the doors lock. And I think it's the scene where she kind of says, "What, you in your box?" And he was so impressed by how good she was that he said, you know, "I'm going to write an episode to bring her back." And at one point there was some kind of scheduling conflict and they didn't know if they were actually going to be able to get her back at all. And Julie Gardner said, "Can't we use another Slovene, or can't we, you know, introduce a Slovene that we didn't actually see in the first episode?" And Russell T. Davis said, "No, this episode is for her." And she's really good in it. Yeah. There's lots of great lines of dialogue in this episode. I love the chase sequence, even things like Mickey and the bucket and the, you know, mop or whatever it is that he has kind of gathers as he runs through. I think that's hilarious and it made me laugh when I was a kid. So
that's why they put the Sarah Jane Adventures.
That's the point. That's who the show is for. Hmm. Plus, there's William Thomas, who was in Remembrance of the Daleks and would go on to play Gwen Cooper's dad in Torchwood. And I think he was also the sort of slightly crazed vicar in Gavin and Stacey. And this was the first episode that introduces us to the Torchwood Hub, although kind of also doesn't introduce us to the Torchwood Hub. I'm sure Kirby will have mentioned already that
well done for there that are
sort of several different versions of Captain Jack running around this episode at this time. But I think Big Finish may have done an audio play that references the adventure that they were doing, that the Torchwood team were actually doing at this point. Or maybe I've just made that up. If they haven't, then they should.
They could
because
have. Well done.
I like when they do those kind of stories set at the same time as previous stories. But this was it's a good calm before the storm, and the finale next week is made all the better by having a chance to just kind of get to spend time with the team of the Doctor, Rose and Jack. And it's a shame that they didn't have more episodes. They could have introduced Jack sooner if they hadn't had Adam to deal with.
Oh, for God's sake.
So I will see you next week.
I'll try my best.
And Parting of the Ways. And
this is your best.
I think they may have given a little hint as to what monsters may be in that story in the trailer. Maybe if you go back and look at it quite closely, they might have hidden a few sort of subtle clues.
Yeah. Know,
just to give the game away completely. Until next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. M, a.k.a. Brandon. Yes, very good. What else we got then? I think, you know, we're just slightly different order while I'm trying to do some stuff in the background here. Mary, you got some blurb from a certain person.
Blurb! Oh, and I'm so mad at him. He has this word in as often as he possibly could.
Well done, Alan.
Saxicorcophallopatorius.
Yeah, that word, yes. Yeah. I know, this thing is laced with many of them. Okay, here we go. This is from Elton Butcher. Rex Coracophalopatorian Consciences, or the Return of Blanfel Fach Pasmir de Slovene.
Mm.
That one's a lot easier to say.
Yes.
Boomtown is, of course, a closely studied ethical contemplation of guilt, culpability, and justice. The TARDIS crew are placed under the abhorrent dilemma of having captured a very guilty creature, but the logical course of referring them to relevant authorities would lead to their judicial murder. Drawn into social interaction with that creature, the Doctor is further confronted with the horror of cruel capital punishment and questioning the irredeemability of his quarry, give her recent instance of mercy in a toilet. The Doctor is putting on a facade of some indifference to this, or perhaps in his damaged state is reverting to his early First Doctor type, less humanitarian values. However, ultimately, the philosophical challenge is dodged by some TARDIS time magic, which reverts the creature to an innocent state. It should be noted that whilst some may say that the Rex Coracophalopatorians did not deserve the quickest return to the show, since the Yeti, in fact, this was quite an interesting and thought-provoking pause before the season crescendo we are about to see, and didn't lean too heavily on the less subtle arm-waving and flatulent features of the Slovene we saw before. We also learn that Rex Coracophalopatoria is a pretty uncivilized place after all, as they employ the death sentence, so the Slovene family's moral turpitude is less atypical than we may have previously understood. All in all, Boomtown is by necessity a simple moral tale that was composed late to plug the gap that had become episode 11. In his most Terrence Dick-style accomplishment, RTD managed to pull together an emergency episode quickly and effectively. Angela Badland, really? I think it's Annette Badland.
Well done, Mary.
As the principal guest star carrying the whole plot on her back. The opportunity is also taken to reposition the regular cast ready for the finale, and Bjorn Eccleston's Doctor is on the ball, but not as compassionate as we might expect. This seems to fit with his regressed state. The conclusion releases the Doctor from confronting his disturbed mental state, but we are edging ever closer to that coda to the Ninth Doctor, which is to come. This story is perhaps a few hours too short, as who would enjoy seeing the full council meeting that must have taken place to approve the Blood Drug Project and give Margaret Blaine the authority to proceed. Next up, Doctor Who and Departing of the Ears, or repeating two words various times, doesn't amount to a story arc. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, well done, Alan. Well done, Mary. We also have this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
He's back.
Hello, Captain.
Boomtown by Russell T. Davis. It was a very icy patch. A travelogue for Cardiff. I wonder if the Americans look down on Pittsburgh like some here might look down on Cardiff. The TARDIS had its own power source until now. Now it needs cordless recharging at the Cardiff Rift. For dramatic reasons. Blanfel Fach Pasmir de Slovene is disguised as Margaret Blaine, the world mayor who wants Cardiff to boom by building a nuclear power plant. She actually wants it to go boom so she can be hurled into space. She wants a glowing future for Cardiff. I expect whoever reads Alan T. Butcher's feedback will have to say Blanfel Fach Pasmir de Slovene.
Yeah, only once though.
When she removes her skin suit, Blonde's voice becomes Slovene.
Yes. And
then it goes back to human.
Yes, it does.
For dramatic reasons.
Indeed.
It's a census day here in England.
Yeah.
And I've been a bit busy. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
What, is he counting every single person?
Yes, that's exactly what he's been doing, so you can understand why he was busy. Yes. one more piece. And it was very quiet, so that's why I had to look up.
Adam.
Beg your pardon?
The wife did our census just before I came out here.
Did you?
Didn't take very long.
No, it didn't take me very
long.
Have
you done yours?
I did mine about a week ago, but yeah.
Did you lie a lot?
What? What do you mean lie? What's there to lie about?
Well, why not? I mean, she'd make it up.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Didn't Captain Kirk miss last week?
No, because if you listen to the show like it's supposed to do, it's called a podcast, there are other things that weren't in the recording that are in the show, Kirby. If you notice, I did give a bit of a hint, actually, in the write-up that said co-founder of the show makes an appearance. So if you listen to the podcast, these are little tidbits you pick up on, including Ian Kirk's requested feedback from the last time he supplied feedback. Okay, listen to the show last week. Back to this week. Yes, got the one last piece. Yes?
Yes, sir.
One last piece, and it goes something like this.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyte and Anton here. It's a lovely sunny afternoon, spring, summer. It's just around 10 past four. I've been out with Zelda and Stormageddon. Been on his bike, had quite a lot of fun. And yesterday morning, I sat and watched Boomtown while I did the ironing and those sort of things I do these days. Which again was a very good episode. Now it's an interesting one, this one, because there's actually not a lot of action if you think about it. It's storyline is pretty basic in terms of the Tilithine wants to build, or the last of the men, Tilithine wants to build a nuclear power station in the rift and gets stopped. But it's more than that. You see, what it's about is about the Doctor's relationship with other people, with Rose, with Jack, with Mickey, and with Margaret. I can't pronounce the Tilithine names, I'm going to try to. And how he interacts with them. And it's really, it's a lot about the Doctor and what's happened to the Time War. You know, we're hearing more about it, you know. He's an eye of the killer and he just looks. And he's got that look, hasn't he, Christopher Eccleston? I think he's, he's very deep and very intense. I'm not quite sure that another Doctor's had it, that we're able to carry this off the way he can. Because he's got such intense dark eyes. It's also about the relationship of Rose. I mean, this is a parallel to the way that the Doctor will move on to leave people behind because he can. And the way that Rose is doing the same, although has she left Mickey behind? I mean, we know in the future, actually, perhaps in a parallel universe, Mickey ends up with Martha. But Mickey, yeah, I mean, she's almost like a go-to for every now and then, you know. Although she did say, I didn't really need my passport, I just wanted to see her. And he can't move on. He can't let her go. But I think with the Doctor, it's just hard to see more about a man who is virtually immortal. And it's happened in other stories. There's been references about him leading other people on, you know, watching people growing old. He doesn't grow old. He will leave them. And Rose knows that this will happen. There will come a time when she, you know, either he will leave her or she will leave him. You know, we do know what happens in the end. The fact that she actually stays in a way with the Doctor, but that's, again, a future story.
No spoilers.
But I think the only person, two really understand this, are Jack understands it, because Jack, of course, is immortal, although we don't know at the moment.
Well, he isn't
and
yet.
The way that he reacts to him, and he behaves towards him, and the way that Sylvain, the way that Margaret responds to him, because, you know, she says, are you prepared to look me in the eye as I die? And he says, yes, I am, because, you know, as we find out, you know, he killed the Time Lords, and he killed the Daleks, well, didn't actually kill them all then, because some of them survived, and also some of the Gallifrey did return in a very strange way later, but
no spoilers.
But it's psychological. It's understanding what the Doctor's character is, and he does ask some questions that he won't answer, or he can't answer, or he knows he can answer and he doesn't want to. There's some really good, very light-hearted bits in it where she's in the restaurant trying to kill him with the darts and the gas and things like that. Was quite funny, and actually. And the way it ended as well is, you know, what is the Doctor going to do? Is the Doctor going to take him out? I genuinely couldn't remember how this finished. I mean, it's funny. I remember things like the bit in the restaurant. I remember that scene really clearly. But I can remember the fact that she went back to being an egg and then got taken away.
Yeah.
And presumably handed on to a Slovene family. And I'm not even going to go anywhere near trying to pronounce the name. Not that it's written down. And yes, I think, Debbie, you'd be the judge of that. But anyway, Boomtown, yeah, it's... The Eccleston series, season, call it what you want, was very good because I don't think there were any really duffers in it. And we're now coming up to, of course, Bad Wolf. So, DC.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I agree.
Hello there. This is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
My favourite jingle of all. Yeah. Particularly that one. Right then, so... I think that does.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
It's taken an hour and 17 minutes but I've fixed my microphone stand.
About time.
Yay! Oh,
can I have a hallelujah, please?
Well, I suppose it deserves one of all the things.
Don't worry about it. I mean,
seriously. I'm just saying, we've had to put up with, I mean, might as well have had, I mean, road drill music sound effects going on all the way through the show. You know, go on then, you can have this. Off you go, Star.
I'm so pleased with myself.
There's plenty of other sound effects I couldn't give you, but I was very kind to you in that particular instance.
Yes, you were. Thank you.
Right then. Before I forget, where's my teeth gone? I forgot to mention at the top of the show, really. This is episode 491, which I did mention, but we're getting very close to 500. I really don't know whether it's worth making a big fuss over it or not. If the listeners think we should, then we will. If not, I will carry on as normal. If you want to send your audio feedback into the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Or you can also contact us through Kirby's, request on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. I think you can actually post audios on those things, or you can send an audio to me personally, if you happen to be my friend on Facebook. Plenty of ways. Audio feedback works really well on an audio presentation, doesn't it, Ben?
What? Never. I was fixing my microphone.
I thought you said you fixed it.
I thought you fixed
it. But then I was playing with it to get it.
We don't really want to know what you were playing with.
Blind.
Tell you what, I'll take a photo.
Oh, that's what Kirby does. Oh, my God.
So you don't see what that is.
Right, I can't believe I managed to get through
that. Out of the way, and I'll take a photo and I'll put it on the thing so you can see what I've been
doing. Okay, well, while you're doing that, let's have a talk about the sponsors of the show. Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Whowon.co.uk.
Thanks to the listeners of this show. Are still in business, so let's keep that happening, shall we? Because the latest products, of which I mentioned last week, the Doctor Who magazine at 562, are still available.
Whowon.co.uk.
Along with the 12th Doctor playing card set for £3.95, the Doctor Who magazine at 561, the Revolution of the Daleks annual thingy. Oh no, it's a DVD. Beg your pardon. And Dalek Combat. Right. Do you think the Daleks are in those? Dalek Combat Training Manual, all available to buy now from whowon.co.uk, along with Chaos Ring, which is looks like a Romana 2 story via Big Finish. Coming soon items. Because not only is it our 500th episode coming up in 9 episodes' time, by the time we get to that, it'll be very near our. What birthday is it this year, Kirby? 12th birthday?
I don't know.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Really? You should know these things.
I was looking up something.
It's nice to see you paying attention.
Okay, let's see.
What do you mean,
order?
Let's try it. It's 2021, 11 years. There we go.
Yes.
Fourth Doctor. It's only it feels 11. Like 12.
I thought it was longer than that.
Well, that's what she said.
didn't I meet you in 2005 or something?
No, 2010. So, you were on it in 2009, but that was before we were the 20 Megabyte podcast, Ben.
Master?
What was it called before we then?
It was called the Doctor Whovian podcast. I've got a clip from that somewhere. Yes, Kirby.
Do you count the pilot episode or the introduction episode? Because
no, the pilot episode.
It was episode 0.
Oh, God, here we go.
May the 10th, 2010, and then episode 1 appears to be May the 13th.
Actually, it was called Whovian Anorak. No, I don't count the pilot episode. That was just a tester episode to see if I could actually get the fee to appear on iTunes.
And aren't you glad you did?
No.
That's how I found the podcast.
I don't remember what episode Ben was on. I got this one.
Here.
Kirby will know.
Yes, I'll know.
Well, Whovian Anorak, you know which one that it was on?
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Well, let's randomly pick.
It appeared on episode 34.
Thank you for that. This is episode 6.
Jane gets taken.
You bribed me.
Bribed you, did you?
Bribed.
That's Alicia when she was quite young.
Good. Don't you hate it when all these Doctor Who fan sites insist on using the Doctor Who theme?
Yeah, well, we don't, do we, everybody? No, we used to, though.
Don't you hate it when all these...
How about this one?
That's actually roses on the...
I know Ben's on one of these. Let's try number 6. It will start with the same thing, so I'm just going to skip forward.
All lot in one go.
Hi.
I'm not too sure that wasn't Penarth Pier that I used to spend a lot of time on. Okay, well, leave it at that. That was, who'd be now ranked number one? What's this one?
Hello.
No, you probably can't remember the boring ones because they're...
The Doctors.
Out of all the Doctors, what you mean the first three Doctors?
Yeah.
Okay, go on then. Didn't she sound young? Yeah, so those are, they never, well, they were released on Podbeam and then they got taken off. So, but they have appeared occasionally during the history of this programme from time to time. And I know Ben appears on one of them, and it was a very good interview, Ben, but I can't remember it. I'll have to find out. I'll dig it out at some point. I'll keep that window
so good
open.
You can't remember.
Yeah. Brilliant. Good work, Ben. By the way, I've just put some photos on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who Facebook podcast page that you can join.
Which you join.
Of what I've been fixing.
Thank you. Eighth Doctor.
You should go and have a look.
Yeah, thank you. Eighth Doctor Stranded 2, a big finished story. All available on pre-order along with Blazing Hour, the Christmas Invasion novel by Jenny T. Colgan. That's on available. It's a Target one. Available on pre-order. Yeah. Coffee, a James Goss story about Yanto, I believe. And Diary of River, Song 8. Along with loads of other stuff available. Who won?
Diary of River Song, as I've seen it somewhere.
No, it says Diary here.
Yeah, but I've seen somebody call it Diary of River Song.
And a multi
because they can't spell correctly.
Yeah, a multi-doctor story, Robert, called End of the Beginning. Also available. Whowon.co.uk. Lavazi.co.uk, as everybody should know by now, do the greatest replica of Doctor Scarves going, along with the greatest ever replica Seventh Doctor jumpers. Now, they have a blog where you can publish your fan fiction. And if you join their mailing doodah thingy, they will send you emails that contain offers and discounts.
Mating
and
doodah thingy.
Yeah, shut up. So that's that one. And iwheroes.co.uk. Now, if you live in the UK, they can mail some fab stuff to you if indeed you order it. The most recent thing I bought from Heroes was my WandaVision figure. I'm just going to have a look and see what's coming. WandaVision, it's a programme on Disney Plus.
Yes.
I've watched the first two episodes.
It's good, isn't it? Keep with it. And, of course, the most recent story, what was it, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier? That was
yes,
started.
You started watching that?
I did.
Or The Falcon and the Snowman, as I keep going to call it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times, too.
No, I watched that particular story, on Friday when it came out.
It's intriguing. Intriguing.
I enjoyed it. I'm also looking forward to Loki when it comes out. So some good stuff coming available soon on Disney Plus. Lots and lots of fab Funko Pops. And the funny thing about IW Heroes, most of the time you order the Funko Pop, they'll turn up, unlike some Funko Pop selling thingies. But there are other things available, and they're like Warhammer comics, funny enough, isn't it? DC, Star Wars, Marvel, Citadel, Chessex, Ultimate Guard, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, and of course, if you play Dungeons & Dragons, stuff like that. And all. So, yes. iwheroes.co.uk. And that very cleverly concludes the section where I talk about the sponsors. Right. You were going to say something, Kirby,
weren't you? Remember whowon.co.uk?
What?
I don't think he mentioned whowon.co.uk today.
Yeah, he really needs to remember to mention whowon.co.uk.
Right, Doctor Who News.
Well, if it was whowon.co.uk, I could understand why he'd need to mention it, but as it's only whowon.co.uk and not whowon.co.uk, do you see what I did there? Because I used to do some voiceovers, and so I changed it a little bit. That's why I've got an expensive microphone.
I haven't heard that sound in a long time.
Yeah, it's Doctor Who News. 10 objects of Doctor Who. To coincide with the upcoming release of 100 Objects of Doctor Who, Candy Bar Books have released a free PDF book, The 10 Objects of Doctor Who, written by Philip Bates. This 43-page freebie is an introduction to his original take on the Doctor Who universe. It's quite interesting for like that sort of stuff. There is a picture of the Brig on the front cover. You don't obviously get the free transfers that were also featured on it. But if you want a link to this freebie, go to DoctorWhoNews.net, where you will click on the link and get the PDF. So that'll be, I bet you'll be doing that, won't you,
Kirby? Go to Candy Jar website.
Or go to Candy Jar website. But what did you say?
I said I'm doing that now.
Yeah, we don't want... Please, can you wait until the show's finished? Dwas Auction, the Doctor Who Appreciation...
Do I ever wait?
Oh, God.
No.
The Doctor Who Appreciation Society is auctioning a piece of Alistair Pearson's artwork from Keeper of Trark, an audiobook, to raise funds for Anthony Dwas. I thought about this last week, but it might as well have another mention. Click on the link. It'll take you to the eBay site where you may be able to get some fab stuff. What else can we do? It's funny, actually, getting quite hot in this room. I don't know if it's because I'm getting annoyed or what.
I'm hot. It's really hot here in there.
Who is it? Are you still getting those strange, spontaneous fires that happen in Australia in hot weather?
I may spontaneously combust.
That's not quite what I asked, but never mind. What have we got here? Yeah, so, you know what we used to do
well,
in the
old
days?
Well, Robert, oh, it is the first day of autumn.
Hey? He's what?
I told Robert it's the first day of autumn. So it's going
beginning of March here.
It's the first day of spring. You've got it completely wrong. It's
no, for
day.
Him.
Yeah, but that's...
No, that was the beginning of March.
Doesn't
March
count. This is a British podcast, and we're in Britain. And anyway, we're going to do the charts.
What?
No, we're not. I just wanted to play that music. Right then.
Down at 3, up at 7. Down at 17. No longer
I miss
34.
Those days.
Down
those
at 3.
Fine.
3 at 7. In at 2. And down at 1. Not our pop knickers.
Sadly, I do not have the sound effect of the clock.
It's my Dave Lee Travis impression, by the way.
Is it? Dave Lee Travis?
Excuse me?
Did you post the link?
What for?
For what?
For the book.
Just go. Do what Master said.
Go to DoctorWhoNews.net where there is a
you
link.
You don't need to do that.
Why not?
I just went straight to Candy Bar, Candy Jar.
That time you could you're arguing about. Oh, never mind. Right. And of course we're not going to be doing the quiz this week because it's a 2-2 vote, and of course that's stalemate, so no quiz. That's the darling control.
No?
Pardon?
Who voted no?
Who voted no? You and Mary.
How do you know I voted no?
Yeah.
So how come we just
20
had
MB dot feedback at gmail.com?
I'd quite like a quiz this week. I like the quiz. It has something, you know, something special.
How do you know
it?
Mary's going to say no as well?
Yeah. Maybe we should, maybe.
Mary
maybe.
Always says no. What if I were to say no?
Anyway,
then a rip in time would probably open up, Kirby. They would all be swallowed by.
I'm not in the mood for it.
Oh, God, hang on. My TARDIS control room's a bit loud. Just turn it down. Oh, that's better. Sorry. You know, it was a couple of episodes in the early days. I had this sound effect playing in the background for the whole show. What a plan that was.
That worked. I liked it.
Did yeah, you? And there were a couple of times that you've had the Dalek control room sound playing through the whole show.
Yes, I did. I just played that a few moments ago and you didn't even notice.
I did notice.
Oh, you did notice. Okay, right.
I mentioned it. Go back and listen to the episode.
Do I have to? Well, you don't listen to the episodes.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah?
I'll tell you what.
A Doctor Who quiz?
Yeah, and I will be the question master.
Well, you've got some questions, anyway.
I have. Adam, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Right, move on to the next one.
Question one. Nay, this is easy. This isn't hard. This is just to add a little bit of spice to it. Name every actor to portray the Doctor in the Doctor Who series since 2005. That's 2005. In your own time, Adam.
Do I have to?
That's
yes,
gonna be
you
a bit
do.
Hard.
It's the quiz. We're having a quiz.
What do I get if I get it right?
Try and get it right. In the face next time I see
you. Come on. Right.
Everyone's got questions. I'm doing the quiz. I'm doing the quiz this week.
I feel really, really out of place in this
week. Okay, fine. So, Adam.
Hang on. I get
any marks.
I just said, excuse me, I said
the
just...
The Ice Warriors come from...
Hang on, let me answer the bloody question. Oh, I'm bloody sulking now.
You had your time, you were timed out, Kirby.
I was bloody timed out.
The Ice Warriors come from... Timed out, I'm afraid, Kirby. Question three. This one's to Mary. Which EastEnders actor did not appear in the 1993 Doctor Who special Timed out, I'm afraid, Mary.
Hang on.
Who else? Robert, are you there?
What are we playing? Weakest Link here?
No, it's just a quiz. I'm doing a quiz. God damn. Everyone, come on, join in. I'm doing a quiz. I'm getting
involved. I've got the answer, if you allow me to answer it.
I'm giving Adam a bit of downtime. He was getting a bit stressed. I thought I'd, step up to the mic.
Slightly
Mars.
Yeah, a little bit late, Kirby.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That was a bit loud, doesn't it?
Okay. Question five. This is for... Who else have we got on today? I haven't been listening.
Robert.
Robert, of course. Who interrupted... Sorry, what interrupted the first Christopher Eccleston story, Rose, upon its first TV transmission? Out of time, I'm afraid. Back to Adam.
Yep.
What was the Doctor's nickname while at the Prandrian Academy on... Out of
Christopher
time.
Eccleston, David Tennant, Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi, Jodie Whittaker, and
you're
of course
late.
John Hurt.
You forgot all the actors in that flashback scene when all those regenerations.
That's not what the question was. So Christopher Eccleston, no David Tennant, Matt Smith, John Hurt, of course, Peter Capaldi, and Jodie Whittaker. Oh, and Martin. Joe Martin. Anybody else?
Okay. Final question. Final question is to me. What was the name of the fictional council estate where Billy Piper's Rose Tyler lived? I reckon it's the Powell Estate.
You are correct.
And I win the quiz this week. Well done, me. Thanks for
coming. Hi, this is Jessica Martin, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And a cheating quizzer.
Right. Hey, I won fair and square. I think everyone listening will agree.
That was quite a quiz.
I've been doctoring questions into Google.
Yeah. Right, so next time, I'm not going to deny that I have a particular penchant for the last two episodes of this particular series.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely thoroughly, especially the second part, which is my favourite a large portion of a new Doctor Who. So we're going to be talking about Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways. Woohoo! Next time.
You can't do it next week. No, you can't do it next week.
Why? What's next week?
It's Man United v Brighton next. No, it's not. It's an England match, isn't it?
So? Not that interested in England matches, to be fair. I don't mind watching them, but I think I'd probably rather do a podcast.
It's a World Cup qualifier against someone like San Marino.
Yeah,
I'll
probably have the TV
or
on.
Or another country that the FA made up so we could beat people.
I think I'll probably have the telly on so as I can watch it while Kirby's interrupting me. I'm quite happy to do that. I might, considering having a week off for Easter Sunday, which will sort of give us a little bit of a cushion between then and the Christmas invasion. But other than that,
We're all right, Adam. It's okay, mate. Next Sunday, England are playing the might of Albania.
Oh, Albania. I thought because it's San Marino in the week, isn't it? Yes. All right, then.
Noise. Cool. Thank heavens for that. I didn't want to miss San Marino.
Anyway.
This is Nabil Shabazz, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I love him.
What the hell was that?
Right, so yeah, that'll be next time. I don't think there's anything else I can mention at the moment. I think I shall might be in a bit of the good books. I did talk about stuff we've watched over the last series, and the main thing is the new stuff that's on Disney+. Isabella's been watching stuff on Apple TV Plus, whatever it's called, because we get that for free through the phone contract. And we watched Kingsman. I've never seen that before. That was quite good fun. Watched that on Saturday.
I need to see that one. I've
not seen that. It's quite good fun.
I've seen both of them.
Extremely violent, but violent in a weirdly funny way.
Humorous way.
Yeah, a bit like, what's that other film that's really cracking that Marvel did? Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, Deadpool.
Deadpool
yeah.
1 and
Deadpool.
2. Deadpool. Absolutely brilliant films. So, yeah, that was quite
Are we doing any other business? Because I've got other business.
Oh, very quickly. Okay. I should get a jingle for that, shouldn't I? But I haven't got one. Carry on. Oh, I've got I've this. I've got this. This might work.
Okay.
Oh, maybe not. No, maybe not. Carry on.
Works for me. It's just like I was going to work. Anyway, I got a new phone this week.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, and I finished with my iPhone XR, and I traded up for a iPhone 12.
I want one of them.
And, Lord, let me tell you, what phone have you got at the moment?
iPhone X.
You've got an iPhone X, and then you want to trade up to an iPhone
12? No, I want an iPhone 12 Pro. That's the one I want.
Well, this is what I've found after having this lovely new, very expensive phone for a week, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly the sodding same as the last one, with a slightly better camera that cost £1,000.
But what about the lovely cameras on it?
My advice to anybody who's coming to the end of their contract and they're thinking, "Ooh, I'll upgrade to the latest iPhone." Stick with what you've got. Get a cheaper contract and spend the money on a camera.
Yeah, but
that's the only.
Yeah, but seriously, so you're saying the camera's good on it?
Oh, the camera's the only thing that's better than on the XR is the camera's slightly updated.
See, that's what's drawing me to the 12 Pro, Adam, because I'm a photographer.
But yeah, what's the point?
Fab camera.
Adam, you're a photographer. You've got proper cameras.
Yeah, I've already got those. Because I can't carry those cameras around with me all the time.
Yeah, but it's not as good as anything that you've got, so there's no point in it. Mm. You might as well keep the iPhone 10 if the battery's all right on it. Sorry for doing iPhone out of Apple out of money.
It's good advice for our listeners.
Someone wake me up when you're done.
No, I just want to make a point.
Don't waste your money.
You know, you said about getting a cheap contract. I've had a cheap contract a couple of years now because I didn't upgrade my iPhone a couple of years ago, and it's still touch wood.
Don't do it.
Still going strong. Stuff coming through on the feed. Lillian Robbins said, "Oh no, Apple again." Well, eat a banana if you don't like apples.
I was doing consumer advice. I like the phones, but it's just not worth upgrading.
I would probably have to agree with you. Thank you for that advice, Ben. I'd really appreciate that advice.
Consumer advice, Adam.
I think Ellis George appreciates it too.
My name's Ellis George, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Thank you, Ellis. There you go. Support from Ellis there.
That was so fun, particular convention.
Okay, thank you for that.
That was like 6 years ago now.
Was it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that again.
Speaking of years ago,
yeah.
You know, it's 40 years ago since Tom Baker regenerated into Peter Davison.
Oh. Marvellous. What do you think, Sylvester?
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I got that last bit wrong, but never mind. Anyway, so next time, it's a Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. Please tune in. Please keep the feedback coming in. Please watch the feed and join the group and be friends with us all. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, bye. Fancy Pants.
God, I hate you lot.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.